It is time to take you on the road to 2023. Welcome to our flagship program covering the 2023 general elections. Every Saturday by 8 a.m., we bring you updates on the elections from the candidates to the voting and other related issues. Let's talk this morning the possibility of a hate speech-free election campaign. Is it possible? Can it happen this time? Is an issue-based campaign possible in Nigeria? If yes, if we believe that we can achieve this, how exactly are we going to do it? So of course, I never have these conversations alone. My guest is Mela Claude Ake. He is a lawyer, entrepreneur, and a public affairs analyst. And of course, he joins me via the phone. Good morning, Mr. Ake. How are you doing?
Good morning, Sam. Doing very well, thank you. Good morning to the listeners.
Good morning.
Nice to be here.
Welcome to the program. So I'm sure there are many instances to cite as to where hate speech led to things not working according to plan. But for us here in Nigeria, is hate speech a serious electoral problem? You know, is it something that is grave enough for us to call a problem? Or is it something we can just manage to do without? How grave is it?
Well, thank you very much. According to the Nigerian Civil Society, hate speech presents a profound challenge to the Nigerian democratic landscape. This is because hate speech could precede outbreaks of violence.
Okay.
So yes, it's quite an issue. It's definitely a sensitive issue, and it's something that we should all be conscious about. But then we also have to define what hate speech is, because sometimes these words are thrown around without actually understanding it. Now, according to some scholars, they say there is no internationally agreed upon definition of what hate speech is.
Okay.
But then there's some attempt at defining hate speech. Now, it's believed to be any communication, whether verbal or non-verbal, that seeks to denigrate a particular person or group on the basis of race, of color, of ethnicity, of gender, of disability, of sexual orientation, of nationality, of religion, of other characteristics. And like I said before, it can be in the form of speech, it can be in the form of gestures, it can be in the form of conduct, it can be in the form of writing. It can also be in the form of a display. Display meaning maybe an illustration or a photograph or video, you know. So this is an attempt at the definition of hate speech.
Okay.
But the problem that that most scholars have, both legal scholars, political scholars, and activists, human rights activists, is that freedom of expression is a fundamental human right.
Indeed.
Okay, it's a fundamental human right. And it is enshrined in Nigeria, for example, it is enshrined in Section 39 of our Constitution. And you know that Constitution is the crown norm of our law. And it is in our Constitution because also universally, we are signatory to the UN Charter on Human Rights. And the freedom of expression is also protected there. So while we understand that the freedom of expression is not exactly an absolute, and there might be some reasonable restrictions here and there, there's a fine line that we have to walk. There's a fine line because humanity has emerged from that era of, you know, of totalitarianism, of fascism, of autocracy, of dictatorship. And one of the hallmarks of that dark era was that the people did not have the freedom to speak. You could lose your head if you said something that the king or the ruler was not comfortable with. So that was one of the hallmarks of the eras of dictatorship, you know. And now that the whole world has embraced democracy, as the proper or the preferred way of politics, of governance. We have to be careful. We have to be careful to balance these concerns between freedom of speech and concerns about hate speech. Okay? Because you find that if we have on so much about hate speech, it becomes a weapon in the hands of autocratic rulers.
Indeed.
Despot or wannabe tyrant to use it and smash the opposition or smash human rights activists or smash, you know, innocent citizens and say, hey, you just what you said was hate speech. If not for that, was sending it to prison. And in our country, we have lots of examples of these because we also, emerging from the era of military dictatorship,
yeah,
we saw how power was abused so much, and every single critic of the military government, you know, in those times, had to be very careful because, you know, you can pay for your criticism of the government with a stint in prison. In some cases, some people paid with their lives. Some had to flee and go on exile. Now, they were not going on exile because they carried up arms against the government. No. It was because of criticism. Because almost every government in power are united around one thing, which is they don't like criticism. Because criticism puts them in a bad path.
All right, okay. Let me ask a question as a follow-up to what you've said. Now, you have talked about hate speech versus freedom of speech. And I want to bring it to a personal level, not even the election campaigns now. Is it even possible to have a hate speech-free life? For example, as you've defined hate speech, communication, written, verbal, whatever that insults racial, ethnic, political, religious, even sexual orientation. So you have an African father, specifically a Nigerian parent, whose child has come out to say, Daddy, Mommy, I'm gay. Of course, in Nigeria, it is a crime. So we can understand how that would not even stand. But let's even look at the laws governing the home. The average Nigerian parent will be livid. And while trying to scold that child and express your anger, they will very likely insult people of that sexual orientation where the child has suddenly claimed that they belong to. While expressing that, there might be some insults. While expressing that displeasure, there will be some words thrown around about how useless that child is for even thinking. Now, because sexual orientation was thrown into the mix, in your definition, is it possible, I'm using this example to ask the question, is it possible to even have a hate speech free life where we will not have reservations about something else someone is doing, where we will not express in certain terms our displeasure with the way that people do things? Can that happen?
Okay, what you're asking me now is a hate speech free life, like
yes,
a hate speech free world.
Exactly.
Or hate speech free society.
Because from there we can now take it to election. So is that even possible at a personal human level?
Well, let me start by saying I like where you're taking this, because at the end of the day, even though the topic says we're talking about a hate speech free election and its politics, we must acknowledge the fact that our politics usually is a reflection of the larger society.
Indeed.
A lot of the time. So I like where you have taken the conversation. Can we have a hate speech free society? Honestly, my brother, I cannot categorically say yes for that. I cannot. Why? We know that when it comes to the issue of respecting human rights and protecting human rights and protecting, you know, the dignity of the human person, which is a part of, you know, fundamental human rights. We know that, whether we like it or not, we have to admit that the Western world is far ahead of us in that respect. That is the truth. They are far ahead. They are a far more liberal society than we are, okay? However, you still find that over there, there are issues, there are instances of, you know, slurs. That's the word, slurs.
Yeah.
It's spelled S-L-U-R-S, okay? Slur is singular, slurs, plural. Okay, we have slurs, issues of slurs, racial slurs, you know, all manner of things that happen. You know, people using degrading words against each other, instances of discrimination on the basis of race, on the basis of gender, you know, on the basis of religion, on the basis of nationality, you know, go back to your country, you know, you don't deserve this, you shouldn't be, you know, you're taking our job. Even in our own backyard, African backyard, we've experienced xenophobia in neighboring African countries, okay? So these things happen every day. Here in Nigeria, you find people throwing slurs at each other, you know, because of the difference in ethnicity, the difference in religion, throwing slurs at each other because of the difference in gender or whatever. Is it possible? I'm not sure it is. But is it also possible to reduce this to the barest minimum? That should be the question, and that should be the focus. So it's like saying, is it possible to have a 100% malaria-free society? Maybe not. But would you possibly reduce the cases of malaria from, say, 7,000 reported cases a year, for example, to maybe something like 100?
Okay.
Or 200. Okay? So if you had 7,000 such cases every year, and you've been able to put things in place that brought it down to as low as even 500, you've made a great deal of progress. Okay? So
okay,
while I cannot categorically say that we can have a hate speech-free society, okay, we shouldn't then throw our hands in the air and say, you know what, it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't try to be better. As human beings who are created in the image of God, which is what I believe, okay, we have a responsibility to aspire to be better, to aspire to our higher self. So, yes, we should see how we can, you know, be more sensible and sensitive in our communication with one another, more respectful of one another. Yes, somebody may be of a different ideology, they may be of a different political party, they may be of a different gender, a different ethnic group. But, you know, like it said in the Bible, with due respect to the listeners who may not be Christian, I'm just giving an example, Jesus said, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. So if I wouldn't want Sam to use a slur against me, referring to my background, referring to whatever identity I have, I shouldn't do that to Sam either.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so I think
understand.
That is where each one of us as a member of the society has a responsibility.
Interesting. So we're looking to reduce this to the barest minimum. Now, the focus, the possibility of a hate speech free election campaign and pushing into issue-based campaigning instead. What exactly qualifies as issue-based campaigning?
Okay. So, issue-based campaigns are the perfect antithesis and opposite and antidotes. You know, if hate speech is a poison, the antidote, the perfect antidote is issue-based campaigning. So let's say Sam and I are in the same, you know, community, okay?
Mm.
We are in the same community. And Sam and I are vying for perhaps some kind of office. So what the conversation should revolve around should not be, oh, is it not Sam? Sam is from so-and-so place. Oh, Sam is this. Or Mela is this, or Mela is that. It should be, okay, what are Mela's antecedents? What are Sam's antecedents? The issues should be based on competence and character.
Okay.
And then it should also be focused on what are the needs of this society at this time. What are the needs of this society at this time? And how are these individuals who are vying to serve us, how are they planning to tackle those challenges that are facing the society?
We'll be taking a break shortly.
So we should be focused.
We'll be taking a break shortly. Okay. However, how possible is it to even have campaigns without pointing out the failures of, you know, oh, I'm going to come and solve this? And at some point in that conversation, it is never mentioned, unlike those who did not do the job. Anybody who comes in now, wants to be president or anything, and gives the regular power supply, employment, water, this one, they will very likely mention the failure of past governments. And past government might be of, you know, a different political party. Unlike so-and-so who could not do this for you. I mean, if you think about it, it kind of gives points to your campaign.
Yeah. Am I allowed to respond to that right
now? Yes, please.
Or
yes.
Break?
Right now. We have about 1 minute.
Well, like I said, it's a fine line, okay? We have to be careful not to stand everything as hate speech. All criticism is not hate speech.
Okay.
In a free society, okay, criticism is allowed. As a matter of fact, criticism is part of the lifeblood of a democratic and free society.
Okay.
So if somebody were vying for an office and you were critiquing his opponent, okay, and say, well, I'm going to do what these other people couldn't do, okay?
Mm.
In a sense, that is issue-based. Okay, for instance, you know, I'm going to take care of the scholarship, or my government is going to, you know, ensure that 1,000, youth from this community, you know, are trained in different skills or trained up to university level, master's degree level. That's a wonderful thing. And then I say, these other people,
I apologize for interrupting you. We'll have to take that break now. After the break, we'll talk some more. Please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. It's still Road to 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sam Oracle Chinedu. This morning we're talking about the possibility of a hate speech free election campaign. As you know, the campaigns begin officially on the 28th of September, which is in a couple of days. Can we actually have campaigns without hate speech? Can we focus on issue-based campaigns? My guest still is, and he is on the phone, Mr. Mela Claude Ake. He is a lawyer, entrepreneur, and public affairs analyst. You're welcome once again, Mr. Mela.
Thank you, Sam.
All right. So, you were answering a question before the break. Shortly, we'll be taking calls as to, criticism, not every criticism being hate speech. I believe that's what you were saying, if I'm not mistaken.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
So, like I said, every criticism is not hate speech because the people... We, the electorate, are like the buying public or those who are hiring somebody for a job.
Mm.
And the candidates are the people who are either trying to sell something to us or, you know, applying for the job that we're hiring for. So in that situation, they have a responsibility to explain to us how they intend to meet our needs and why they think that they should be the preferred option over the other person, okay?
Okay.
So if in making their pitch, or if in a candidate making his pitch, he says, okay, don't listen to this other guy or this other party, okay? They claim that they care about the people, but this is what they didn't do, okay? Just as a way to point out their incompetence or their lack of character, okay? That's not a problem. That's not hate speech. Okay? It's actually fine to do that in a free and democratic society during campaigns. The party is supposed to point out the lapses of the other party and tell the people, this is why we think we should pick up instead of them. It's normal. But it is when it veers into derogatory remarks, especially centered around, like we said before, ethnicity, religion, disability, sexual orientation, you know, that is where it has become a speech. But criticism is fair game in a democratic society.
All right.
And if you permit me, though, I will also point out that we have a few laws in place that expressly prohibit this kind of thing. For instance, in the current Electoral Act 2022, Section 92, Electoral Act, expressly prohibits what it terms language likely to injure religious, ethnic, tribal, or sectional feelings.
Mm.
Most of the prohibits reduces intemperate, slanderous, or base language. So, in a situation where it appears that individuals cannot help themselves, laws are put in place to check us, okay? So already we have things like that in the Electoral Act. The criminal code also criminalizes, you know, things like defamation, you know, defamation where you slander somebody or lie them. So we have the Electoral Act, we have the Cybercrime Prevention Act, we have the criminal code. So there are laws in place that prohibit hate speech, for lack of a better term.
These days in Nigeria, I'm sorry, but I don't have confidence in a law being in place. I'm more confident when implementation happens, because we've always had a problem with implementing many things that are stated in the law. But let's go to the listener now. It's time for you to be a part of the conversation. The number is 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0007. Of course, WhatsApp is 080-903-06-416. Remember, we are live on Facebook and Twitter. That means you can watch as you listen. The question is, do you see these elections going without hate speech? Can we pull off a hate speech-free campaign this season? Are politicians capable of pulling that off? There's a funny question here on Facebook. I beg your pardon, on WhatsApp, actually. It says, good morning, Mr. Sam. To your guest, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Is this hate speech? That's quite hilarious. because we're looking at what Jesus has called it.
What does that have to do with hate speech?
Yeah, well, it was a part of what we were talking about earlier, on a personal level, if we can have a hate speech-free society. But more specifically on this, thank God Ability Atwebu on Facebook says, a presidential candidate, I'm glad you didn't mention which one, said a political party will labor in vain. Is that not hate speech? And to give context to this, because I will have to call the party on the other end. So it's the Labour Party. Of course, Labour being in the title of the party. A candidate of another party said that party will labor in vain. Of course, while addressing supporters, is that considered hate speech?
You want me to answer?
Yes, please, by all means.
Okay. I wouldn't classify that as hate speech. I wouldn't classify that as hate speech, because going by the definition of hate speech, where it's targeted, it's derogatory, and it's based on issues of ethnicity, other parameters. It's basically a slur. That is not hate speech. Yes, you could say he sounded condescending. You could say he sounded dismissive of the other party and their efforts and their chances. Yes, you could say he was dismissive, but it is not hate speech. That's why I said everything is not hate speech. We have to be careful not to erode our own fundamental human rights as protected in the Constitution, because the freedom of expression, without the freedom of expression, we don't have a free democratic society.
Okay, so let's go to where this could very likely pose a problem. Hate speech leading to electoral violence. What is the connection?
Well, like we had defined before, you know, speech that incites, not only injurious, but also is insightful or incited. Okay? For instance, there was a situation that was in a previous electoral season where a governor in a state in the north, okay, of this country, okay, this was during the 2015 general election.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll be fine with me mentioning the name.
No, let's just...
Okay, so he reportedly urged his supporters to attack opponents and referred to his political opponent as cockroaches, urging his supporters to kill them as they kill cockroaches. Okay? And if you remember, in the Rwandan genocide...
Cockroaches was used as well.
The same word was used when trying to incite violence. Okay? The people who were trying to incite violence against the Tutsi refer to them as cockroaches. And it's basically, you know, sending a subtle subliminal message. Cockroaches are supposed to be killed. They're supposed to be put down. They're supposed to be taken out of the picture. You see? So in that case, you can see that there's a clear case of incitement.
I understand the connection. However, if I say to you as a person, okay, this person is a cockroach, or this person does this, I give that speech. If you rise up and take up arms in reaction or response to what I have told you, you allowed yourself to be incited. The fact that somebody told me that does not mean I have to respond violently. So the responsibility still goes to who was incited.
Yes. Now, that is why, first of all, context matters. Okay? It will be in a conversation, and within the context of that conversation, depending on how the words were used, okay, it may not actually be an incitement to violence. Okay?
Okay.
That is why there are certain tests that these things will pass through when taken to a court of law. Okay, the court will say, how did it appear to a reasonable person? Okay, did it appear to a reasonable person as though you were perhaps, inciting violence, tended to incite violence, or insinuated, in some way? Okay, also, yes, like you said, there's a responsibility to each one of us to refrain from getting involved in violence. I agree. But we also know, and we must admit, that human beings are very sensitive to words. Words matter. You and I are talking right now. It's words.
That's
we
right.
use words to empower ourselves, use words to encourage ourselves. We also use words to discourage ourselves. We use words to program ourselves. So because of that, the framers of the law understand that words are very important, and we have to be responsible when using words.
Okay.
So when the context is analyzed properly, and it has been fairly adjudged to have been something that was attempting to incite violence, you know, then yes, the one who allowed himself to, you know, go ahead and be incited and commit violence will be held liable. But also the one who chose to incite the other person will also be held liable.
Okay. All right, let's go over to WhatsApp. Good morning, Oracle and Dr. Cloud. Okay, what I have observed is that Nigerians are not focusing on the tale, but on who tells it. If individual Nigerians don't like your personality or your nativity, they fail to listen to what you're talking about. They will hear, but not make out what you are saying. Religion is another problem, Barry Johnson says on WhatsApp. You can call us 0817923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0007. Of course, we're live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. And WhatsApp is 080-903-06-416. Please turn off your radio as you call. Onyenu Cheya, Stephen on WhatsApp says, Nigerian politicians do not practice open debate. All they do is hate speech to one another, calling themselves names. That's according to Stephen. Let's take this call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
I'm
all right, go ahead. But please speak up.
Yeah. Very quick one. First off, I want to quickly say that hate speech is not what is defined or definable.
Okay.
It is what the government calls it.
Really?
So you have heard from, for instance, he said certain things, and he said that is not hate speech. Trust me, if the government taught that to be hate speech, they will come at the person. That's why you saw the gray areas in the definition of hate speech. If you go look at what we call hate speech in this country, the gray areas are so conspicuous, they are so palpable. It is so that we can perpetuate mischief. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing I want to say is, you cannot have issue-based campaigns.
Why?
Let me explain why. If you were living in France, for instance, you understood that you ought to speak French to get the attention of the people, to be able to transact properly. If you lived in Portugal, you understood that you would have to speak their language. The language that people understand in Nigeria. I'm sorry to say, you know, I've traveled around a lot of the places in this country, from the north to the west to the east, and here to the south. It's language that exalts, gags, and tramples on the competition. So the people who are contesting understand this, that until they speak this language in this environment, people feel that they are campaigning. Man is at different level, different stage in his life at every time. The time when man is at the level of physiological needs is the time when things like only clothes, shelter, and food will satisfy them. When you get beyond physiological stage, you get to the next, which is safety. So all the asking for safety, you then satisfy them there. It continues to progress according to Abraham Maslow.
Okay, so let me ask you quickly, because I have to take other calls. Summarizing what you've said, are you saying it is impossible to have issue-based campaigning in a diverse society, a society where there are many ethnicities? Hello?
I'm saying it is impossible to have issue-based campaign in a crude environment. Says who defines what is issue-based? You and I. Would you and I that are educated? Go to the market, go to the village square, go to the north. What are you talking about issue? What is issue? Do they understand? Can they properly define what is issue-based?
Yeah, they cannot.
Do they understand
what you
that?
See,
they want
you
to
see.
Hear that you will say, oh, I'm going to give you rapper. Oh, I'm going to do this. They want to hear.
Okay, I understand and I agree. However, some of the things you and I can define today, we couldn't define yesterday. So enlightenment and education got us to this point. And there are things we don't know now. So if the person who would take rapper gets to meet enlightenment, don't you think they would do better?
Yes. I'm saying what we need to do first. Look at the American society and the British society. The increased consciousness of the people to a level where if a man went out to a party during the COVID-19 time, he understood that that was issue enough for him to resign. Look at what is happening in our country now. Okay, let me tell you. Very recently, we discovered billions of naira and they called it ghost accounts, ghost workers. Guess what? The people who are still in those ministries, the directors, the ministers, they are both resigned. Nigerians are not speaking about it because they don't consider it issue enough.
All right, thank you very much. I must move on now. I do get your point. I have to take all the calls. I'll take one more before I get back to you, Mr. Ike. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, what's your name?
Yeah, my name is Comrade Lutandare Sunday.
All right, go ahead.
From Bori. A president, a time and tongue for River Tautist.
Go ahead.
Yes, greet your guest in the studio.
Yeah. I greet you too.
As regard to this discussion, one of the things I see that is also contributing to some of this political problem is our leaders, mostly those presently in place of leadership now. If you listen to them when they got to public place, the way they even address issues is not even welcome. And how do you expect that their followers, their supporters, will react, be it on social media or in the rural areas? So let's us look at how to advise our leaders,
okay,
candidates, those who are in power, to at least advise their supporters. I think some months ago or weeks ago, they were complaining about Obi supporters and all that, the way they go delegatory on candidates and all that. You know, I want us to ask, let us see how we can address this issue so that we, who are supporters, can also know the way to go through.
All right, thank you very much. So back to you, Ms. Ike, because we have another break coming up in 2 minutes. The first caller made some points, but the first thing he said is that hate speech becomes what the government calls it. Do you agree with that position?
Well, generally, a philosopher by the name of, I think, Karl Marx, from this statement, believes that the law will be used as a weapon, or was a weapon by the state. So, yes, in that regard, you could say that that's why I said that we have to be careful. Now, in our case, we don't have any hate speech act.
Mm.
Okay, there was a time that somebody in the National Assembly was pushing the hate speech bill, but after Nigerians examined the provisions of that bill, they rose up united and condemned that bill because they understood the threat that it posed to our collective rights, especially of freedom of expression.
Mm.
Okay, and that is a very good example of the people taking their own power back.
Okay.
So, as citizens, we have a responsibility to be vigilant. We have a responsibility to be active participants in the shaping of our own destiny. Okay, so yes, if there were a hate speech bill that wanted to be passed, maybe those in power might want to use the opportunity to use it as a weapon to silence opposition, to silence criticism, definitely. But to say that there is no definition at all whatsoever of hate speech is not correct. Okay, we have an idea of what hate speech is, and it is majorly about inciting people. It is about slurs based on ethnicity, based on religion, based on race, all of that. So we have an idea of what it is. And like I said, we already have some legislation in place that tries to address those issues.
Okay.
And even though you said you don't have much confidence in laws unless they're implemented, the truth is that we have a responsibility of testing those laws. So, for instance, some people decide, you know what, I'm going to hire the services of a lawyer, and I'm going to go and pursue this matter in court and then get judgment.
All
right. See if the laws don't work.
We'll have to take our next break right about now. After that, we, of course, round off and you tell us who's more to blame, the politicians or the followers. Stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. It's still Road to 2023. What's left of it? We're down to our final seconds right here on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I still have Mr. Ake on the phone. You're welcome once again. Very quickly, finally, what must we do to achieve hate speech free elections come 2023?
Okay, thank you, sir. Each one of us has a responsibility, like we have a plan. Okay, we don't want a campaign that is based off of ethnicity, based on irrelevant issues. The most relevant issues to us in this campaign cycle should be competence, character, and track record. Okay? We should be concerned about development. Development should be front and center. This candidate, what do you have to offer?
Okay.
Tell us what you have to offer and tell us why you're different from the other person. What are your antecedents? What is your track record? We also need to check them. And we shouldn't just take everything that they say, you know, we shouldn't take them at their word.
All right.
We have a responsibility to also dig deep into their past and ask questions about them. What kind of person has he or she been in the past 10, 20 years? What are their records? So that should be a marker for the kind of person they will be if we were to give them power.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Whoever you are is who you are.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Claude, Mela Claude Ake, for your time. We truly appreciate it. That's as much as we can take on the show. Ms. Ake is a lawyer, entrepreneur, and public affairs analyst. That is as much as we can go. As far as we can go, rather, on Road to 2023. Join us next Saturday at 8 a.m. to catch the updates on the elections from candidates to voting. The Road to 2023 was produced by Choma Ezenwafo.